Well, Brother Brody Little's here this morning to give the morning message, so welcome him up right now to begin. And as he's coming up, I'll just open with the word of prayer. Lord, we pray that you would use this time this morning, this message, the communication of your word to speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. Help us to get through this challenging life, and we know that you've given us your message, your word to help us. So, Holy Spirit, enliven our hearts, enliven our minds, and just give us a word today. So we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, 316. This is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know about you, but I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to be glad because when I lay down last night, I had no assurance that I would see this day. But by the grace of God, here I am. One more day to let you know that God loves you. Before I begin this morning, I would like to, I guess you say, give a shout out to someone that is very worthy of his hire. I would like for you all, if you will, to help me in a round of applause to our great pastor and first lady, Pastor Mark. Praise God, we're going to be coming, not very long, but Matthew 11. 28 through 30. It goes like, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I had an episode on this weekend. It started last month. I had gotten a letter from one of those dreaded places, the IRS. Needless to say, I was shaking in my shoes when I first saw the letter. I knew that what taxes I had was current, and I'm wondering what could this letter consist of. Well, I proceed to open the letter, and again, I had another surprise. Lo and behold, they were saying that they owed me money. Bro, I want to dance, not clap. When the IRS knocks at your door, that's one thing and one thing only normally, but praise God, they honestly did. They said in the letter that they owed me money. And I'm serious. I was like a mule eating yellow jacks. If you know what a mule and yellow jacks is, you know that's a deadly combination. But praise God, it lasted, this whole ordeal lasted actually up until today. I mean, how long does it take to give someone some money? I mean, seriously, man. I mean, like, it was $1,000, yeah, but my God, 2 weeks or more to give a person $1,000? I mean, and again, it's still going on, but what was so intriguing about it was on Thursday, I called them to find out what's going on with a little bit of change that they were giving. The lady proceeded to tell me what everything was about. Then at the end, she says to the fact that you need to get this, you need to get that, you need to get this. In frustration, I said, oh my God. And I started praising God, and she yelled out, don't start that mess. That's not mess, sweetheart. That is a part of your life. Okay. She went on to argue even the more. I kept praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She finally came back on the phone and says, if you'll stop that, we'll give you your check. Okay. I mean, I didn't stop it because of the money, okay? I wanted the money, don't get me wrong. But because I love God so much, you're not going to shut me up just because of money. Because it was by the grace of God that I got that. And you think I'm going to stop praising him? No, huh? When I came into this world, I came through Jesus Christ. And it's going to take him to stop me from praising him. Right, on Friday, we had another round, if you will. Again, I was talking to her about the money again. And she again proceeded to tell me all about what was going on. At the end, again, she said something to the effect that you're not going to get it yet. So again, I started praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And she again proceeded to start arguing, if you will, about me praising the Lord. Well, honey, it's going to take more than you and all of Congress to get me to stop praising the Lord. So I thank God that even though it's still pending, I thank God for a favor. Okay? I needed that. But nonetheless, God is so good. Again, it would take more than money. And actually, there's nothing in or on this earth that can stop me from praising my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So again, Matthew, the 11th chapter. And the 28th verse, and again, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is making a plea. We know that he is the Son of the living God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Jesus Christ is everything that we need, everything that we would ever want. We can find it in Jesus if we would praise his name. If we would continue to tell dying men and women that there is a Savior amongst us, one that can do exceeding abundantly and more that we can ask or think. I mean, I can think of a lot of things, good and bad. But the Word says that he can give us all of that and more. And the 29th verse goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I know the brother back then, I was talking in the cafeteria early, and I overheard him saying that he'd be tired when he goes to work and tired when he comes in. Well, Doc, again, I've got good news that even Jesus can heal that tiredness. He can give you rest to your soul. He can fix the hurting heart. He can dry those weeping eyes. He can take the wrong and make it right. Jesus is everything that we need, everything that we could ever ask for. Jesus has it. But the kicker is that all he asks in return is that we worship him. All that he asks in return is that we tell dying men and women, that there is a Savior. He's no longer in Jerusalem. He's no longer in the grave. But he sits right here, right now. There is a name, the songwriter said, that I love to hear. I love to sing his words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name I know. There is a song that I love to hear. There is no song that's more sweeter than the name of Jesus. If it has already been done, but I was going to say that if it was counted, how many songs would there be about Jesus? Even the Bible says that if the books were written that were talking about Jesus, if it was possible for them to read, to write those books, they goes on to say that even the world could not contain the books, not the miracles, not the bodies that he healed, not the dead that he had raised. Yeah, yes, he raised the dead. He can, we are in a dead state if we don't have Jesus Christ in our hearts, okay? We are already dead. Yes, grave worthy, yes. But if we would take the time out just to ask him, Lord, come into my heart. Make me whole. Make me worthy. We go on our jobs. We bust it. Every time we walk through those doors, every time we walk on that property, we bust it. We go and do things that is not even on our pay, per se. But yet we go in there and we go in the door, and first person we see, we smile. Hello, how are you, man? What's up, dude? But then all we have to do to be worthy to go into heaven is just, Lord, save me. How much is that? Or even more, how much do I owe him? Okay, I was talking about that check earlier, but how much do I owe Jesus Christ? During the time that you're asleep, not even knowing what's going on around you, people are dying. Some of them in our own front door. Literally. Some of them in our own front door. There have been places that I live. They weren't, per se, bad places. But there were people killed during the time I was asleep, right? Not in my front door, but not maybe a couple of houses down from me. Literally dead. And honestly, I get up the next day and hear the news, and I'm wondering, not wondering, but just thinking, Lord, it could have been me. It could have been me. What is preventing God from just letting the whole gate swing open and let death come into our place of business, our place of worship? There are people die in the church as well. But nonetheless, we owe God a great deal of thanks. And the last but not least verse, for my yoke, God said, it's easy, and my burdens are light. So there's nothing. I think they sing that, but there is nothing too hard. It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I mean, you can have, literally, you can have the whole world on your shoulders, but Jesus can fix it for you. He can take that world off your shoulders. He can do the impossible. I mean, we say it a lot of times without taking any notice that that's impossible. No one can do that. Have you met my Jesus? Have you met my Jesus? Okay. You can go on and say that in a comical sense, yes, he can. But, oh, yes, he can. He can do not only that, not only the impossible. A lot of times we use that. A lot of times. Oh, that's impossible for anyone to. Oh, okay. You have not tried my Jesus. You have not tried my Jesus. Well, see, I say it personally because he is my Jesus personally. I can tell you, honey, these years that I've been on this earth, I've encountered a lot of things in my life. I've got maybe you might not see it as much, but I've got a artificial knee. This left knee had surgery on that one. But I'm still here. Hallelujah. I mean, people look at me and, can I help you? God got this. I mean, seriously. And they call me crazy, or what's that other word they use is whenever you want to do things on your own. I mean, honey, God still got breath in my body. I can move my arms. I can move my legs. I can't walk on them. Not yet. But I believe before I leave this world, I will be. But honey, again, God is worthy of all of our praise. I don't care if you half sleep, half dead, or whatever. He is still worthy of our praise. Praise God.